officer was injured. Still, let me take blame for handling this. The officer, as we said, was shot. We know that he's expected to be okay.
You listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Making the World a Better Place, One Show at a Time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Making This World a Better Place, One Show at a Time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you, everybody, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is actually, we're on the crust of Memorial Day, and that's a good thing, especially for some of the school age children, because they're going to have a 3-day weekend. That's how you want to look at it. You know, it's going to be great, because I do think Memorial Day is time to be with family. There's no doubt about that. It's time to be with family. So welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's a beautiful day out here, folks. It's like summer in a way that we may have to break out the air conditioners. Yeah, and it officially, unofficially, it is still not summer. It's actually the last leg of spring, you know, so it is still something. And I want to give a shout out to all those folks, all of those young children. Well, compared to me, they're probably children anyway. Everybody who's graduating this year, congratulations. You know, we see a lot of folks in the neighborhood, in the area, in the community with their gowns on. They've graduated from college, they've graduated from eighth grade, or they may have graduated from high school. To all those folks who have finished one level and going on to the next level, much appreciation. Much appreciation. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here, which is Blog Talk Radio. I used to call it the Wilder Network, but there's no network. There's Blog Talk Radio Network, probably. But anyway, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on, I'm all over the universe, actually. So if you're tuning in, that'll be great. That will be beautiful. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. So let's move right along. Okay, there is more severe weather, tornadoes, Nebraska, Kansas, you know, this stuff is just ongoing. And I'm hearing that Chicago may have a few tornadoes later on, but it's beautiful now. It is totally beautiful. And I mentioned in the show yesterday when I had my very, very special guest. Actually, she or he called off. Okay. But anyway, I did talk about this yesterday, about these guys out here in Kansas and Nebraska and Texas, these storm chasers, these guys and girls who go after tornadoes and hurricanes and twisters. They run after them. They actually try to get themselves immersed into the eye of the hurricane out here. These twisters, which this part of the country, there are so many of them. Yesterday I heard that there were 39 twisters. And these storm chasers are just, you know, they're racing to get as close as they possibly can to a twister, to a tornado. And the ironic part about this is some of these people who are call themselves storm chasers, chasing tornadoes and hurricanes and twisters out here among all of this awful weather, they're actually on assignment. They're actually doing their job. Their job is to chase a tornado, run down a tornado. And and there are a lot of them. There's not just one or two or three. I mean, there are a lot of storm chasers. I mean, if you want to be a storm chaser, you would have to probably get in line way further back in line, because there are a lot of storm chasers. And I've said yesterday, there's no way in hell that I would be ever think about becoming a storm chaser. Or ever have I ever thought about becoming a storm chaser, because I thought that was the kind of job that was just totally ridiculous and insane for someone to do that. But you've got people who say they enjoy doing it, and I'm pretty sure some people are hurt and injured, but, you know, I mean, especially when you are actually in the eye of a hurricane and someone is fuming that they're are in that eye of the hurricane and sending it out to the world, sending it out over YouTube. I said, hey, wow, I'm inside of a twister. Look at this. I just can't fathom why people do that. And majority of the time, it's young people who are doing it. I guess they, you know, I mean, if you want to have something to tell your grandkids, I guess that's one of the things you can do. I was inside of a hurricane. Wow. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Linda F. Williams. She is back. She was on here, I think, a few weeks ago, and she was marvelous. And I asked her back, and she nicely, you know, complied. And that's a great thing. All right, we'll wait for her. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. On this show, anything goes. If you see anything goes, that means you can call in and talk about anything you want. We have a smart quiz question, and that is which which ocean is on the west coast of the United States? That should be pretty easy. All you have to do is go get yourself one of those United States maps, and there it is. Okay, but we will have the answer later on in the show. Okay, this show is about opinion and commentary, the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This show is always about making the world a better place, or trying to make the world a better place. And if you are, let me say this, if you are interested, or you are literally trying to make the world a better place, this is the show for you. To make the world a better place. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. Because I've always said, since the first show that I've done on this network, is you put on this world for something. You're not just put on this world to sit in front of a TV set, or sit in front of a radio station, or on the internet. You're in this world to help to make it a better place. And one of the ways you can help make this world a better place is helping other people in some way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what way you help them. You can help them monetarily. You can help them with just your time and effort. You know, somebody out there may not know how to read or write, and you can take a little time and a little effort to help that person learn to read or to write, or both. You know, and one of the things, when you're helping someone to better their lives, your life is automatically bettered, because you feel great about what you've just done to help someone else further on in their life. So that's what this show is about. And those are the kinds of people I try to have on the show where you, the audience, you, the listeners, can also learn something by listening to this show. And I, as your host, always learn something with each and every guest on the show, because I try to get the most knowledgeable people there is out there. And they are always enthralled about being on this show. sometimes I wonder why, because there's a whole host of them out there. So we just got through talking about tornadoes and storm chasers, Nebraska and Kansas. And as always, whatever part of the country or even the world is having a lot of problems, weather problems, we always pray for those people, because a lot of those homes have been demolished and some have been shredded away. And you just, your heart goes out to people when you see them in video or on the news or something. And they're saying that we've lost everything. We've lost it all. You know, mementos, money, jewelry, photographs, I mean, memories. They would say they lost it all. The house is just flattened. You know, everything's gone. And you and I, we're bitching about this or that when these folks have lost everything. Everything. Like I just got through saying, you do not have to always use money. Although money helps. It helps in terms of charity is what I'm talking about. It helps in terms of helping other people to get back up on their feet. But also, besides money, you can give of your time, of your efforts, you know, your presence. You know, sometimes that goes a long way also. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This show is always trying to make the place, the world, a better place. We're trying. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, I will be right back. Actually, we just came on the air, but we'll be right back. Stay with us. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. I'm in my studio. I'm in front of a great big-ass window. I'm looking out on the Broadway. It is such a nice day, folks. I'm just enthralled. I mean, if you've been listening to the show about a few days ago or maybe a week ago, I was all depressed. Not really actually depressed, but I felt a little gray because the day was gray. It was a mess. Raining and snowing, not snowing, but wind blowing and harsh rains, thunder, lightning. I mean, it was the whole enchilada. But it's great today. It feels like summer. And by the calendar, it's not summer. It's still spring. But we'll take it. We'll take it. We'll take it. All right. I know you guys probably have been watching the news and you've seen a lot of the people, a lot of the young people who are working in some of these McDonald's fast food restaurants. They're out there. And other people, other low-wage earners from other sectors of the economy are also out there protesting and wanting and asking for $15 an hour. I mean, they're out there. They're in crowds. They're in droves protesting, and they want this. They want that. But the McDonald's charge is leading everything. Everybody is jumping on board with the McDonald's workers, the young workers who are wanting. You know what? I think I'm with them. I think McDonald's, a $1 billion company, they can afford to pay their workers a living wage. I mean, because if it wasn't for the workers, there would be no McDonald's. I mean, these people up at the top, the corporation, the CEOs and all these people getting paid millions and millions of dollars in bonuses along with their salary, and they can't even give the people who are giving them those bonuses and salaries a decent wage. How in the hell can you work at McDonald's, whether it's full-time or part-time, for $8 an hour, sometimes seven, and some the federal minimum wage is $7.25. So you got some fast food workers in some of these states making $7.25 an hour. Then some states will up their own minimum wage, like Illinois. The minimum wage in Illinois is $8.25. You know, but still, that's awful. However, the minimum wage in Illinois is $8.25. The governor wants to lower it. In actuality, he wants to probably eliminate it from some of the reports that I've read. But the point is, they are out there fighting for more money. Of course, $7.25 or $8.25 is not enough money. That's an embarrassment. That's an embarrassment. And McDonald's, a huge conglomerate, can't afford to pay these people $15 an hour. If all of these people walk out the door, if they walked out, they would shut McDonald's down. They will shut it down, and that's what they're doing now. They're showing McDonald's, if it wasn't for us, if we walk out on you, this would shut the hell down. You wouldn't make any sales. You wouldn't have any investors. The CEOs would not be getting their million-dollar bonuses off the backs of people who are making $7 and $8 an hour. $10 an hour is not efficient. $12 is not efficient, especially when rents are so high and food is so high and you're paying high taxes on every damn thing. So these people have a right to be out there. I'm with them all the way. I think they should get $15 an hour. Actually, I think they should get $16 an hour, because in a few years, you know, with inflation, $15 an hour is going to seem like $12 an hour. However, and I'm going to say this again, they can afford it. They can afford it. And I do think with these constant people constantly walking out of their jobs, protesting a higher wage, a living wage, I do think that McDonald's somewhere along the line will give in. However, the politicians, they don't want it. Barack Obama does not want $15 an hour. Hillary Clinton does not want $15 an hour. Why? Because they feel that it will hurt businesses. They will start laying off employees. And there are some business people who have said that. They've said they will start laying off employees if this should happen. It's going to happen. Of course, they're not going to be able to lay everybody off, because if they lay everybody off, they will not have a business. But I have one caution for those people who are seeking $15 an hour, which I do support. And that's not getting – what I'm about to say is not talking about folks being laid off because businesses cannot afford it. Businesses are starting to implement automation. And a lot of them have said this. They are pissed off, upset that a lot of these workers are walking off the job because they more money. They're pissed off at it. So they are implementing, as I've said many times on the show, and I think I ran a clip yesterday about robots taking your job. That's what's going to happen, folks, in this fast food industry. Employers are looking at it right now. Robots. You're going to have robots in McDonald's preparing your food. Your hamburgers, your french fries, your chicken nuggets. You're going to have robots doing that. They want robots because they know the robots are not going to get out here and protest and strike on them for a higher wage. They know that robots are not going to ask for a raise. They know that animation is not going to say, hey, wow, I want a 30-minute lunch. Or I'm going to go to my union rep. Automation is coming. And this is what this an hour is going to do to a lot of fast food and a lot of industry. Obviously, automation is already in the automobile industry. These cars out here that you see going up and down the street, they have been built by robots. And a lot of people have been thrown out of jobs in the auto industry because of it. And it's going to happen in the food, in the fast food industry. It's already happening in the banking industry. You walk into a bank, you will not see a live teller. There will be a robot there, or there will be automation that will deposit and withdraw money for you. You know, because in some cases, ATMs are automation, because you can go drop off some money, you can take out some money, and there's no teller there to write you a slip or anything. It just comes right out. Automation is everywhere. And it's going to enter into the food industry. It's already in the banking industry. It's all over everywhere. But it's going to be more prevalent as the months and the years and the decades go along. But I'm not here saying do not protest for a higher wage. Damn right, do it. But be aware that your job is going to be replaced by a robot, especially if you're in the food industry. I mean, you got people, young ladies working in offices answering phones. A lot of those jobs have been taken away because it's automation now. It's automation. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's scary, folks, but it's here. It is scary. If your job is not being outsourced, it will be taken away by automation and robots. So a lot of people are trying to get ahead on that because they're trying to find a job where a robot cannot be used, you know, and you can be successful at that, but I'm pretty sure that there will not be many jobs that robots cannot be used or animation will not be implemented. So it's something to think about. It really is. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show talking about automation in the fast food industry. Robots are on their way because they are sick and tired of young people leaving their jobs to strike over a higher wage. And that's what's happening, folks. That's what's happening. So you have to keep that in mind when you're going out to apply for a job in the fast food industry. There won't be any more of that because robots will be here to stay in the fast food industry. And that's what they're looking at. That's what they're looking at. Like I said before, majority of the politicians, they do not agree with people out here protesting for $15 an hour. Like I said, Obama, he can't stand that. I think Obama is for maybe $10 an hour. Hillary is just an extension of Obama, $10 an hour. You know, but $10, you can't live off that. That's just like working for $8. You can't live with that. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, animation in the food industry, folks. It's coming. And actually, it's coming everywhere. So if you have a job right now, you better find a way to try to actually keep it, because your employer is trying to find out how he can cut costs and save money, even by eliminating your job. So no job is secure. And that's why I've said on this show many times, figure out a way to go into business for yourself. Work for yourself. You know, that's the only way you're going to make it in this world. You're working for someone else, you're going to make them rich. After a few years, they're going to fire you where you are. And where will you be? If you can, if at all possibility, if it works for you, figure out what your talents are and go with it and try to get into business for yourself. The first thing you ought to do when you get a job, save money. You're going to need money. Start saving. In 5 or 10 years, quit your job and go into business for yourself. All right, you are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Oh, wow, it's a great day. It's a wonderful time, folks.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, thanks a lot for coming back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. It's great, people. It is a wonderful day in the city of Chicago. Hopefully the crime will be down. And you know what? They're worried about it. They're worried about Memorial Day. They're trying to keep the shootings and the muggings down. They don't want it to go as high as it did last year on Memorial Day. Hopefully they can do that. I don't know. But anyway, this is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful town. And Memorial Day, the weekend starts tomorrow. And it will be a family time, especially for me, too, you know. So we're going to try and enjoy it. No writing, no. Just going to be total family. Go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
This is Linda Williams.
I knew it.
At the wrong time.
Huh?
I hope I'm not calling at the wrong time.
No. I mean, for you, it's never the wrong time.
Oh, you charmer, you.
No, I was just thinking of, I was just thinking about the last time you were on the show, and I thought it was great, and I thought it was marvelous.
Thank you.
And
I'm just saying that
for you, it's never a bad time, because you are a special guest, actually.
Thank you
and,
so much.
Oh, no problem. All right, tell the people. tell my audience you know, what you're about and all that kind of stuff. Give us your bio and all that kind of thing.
I'm Linda Williams, your personal and professional empowerment strategist, mm-hmm. the founder and CEO of Who's Apple Dynamic Coaching Services, and the author of Who's Apple Is It Anyway? The premise of the book is simply this. Life is going to throw you apples. You have no control over that, but you can duck those bad fellas like Keanu Reeves ducking bullets in the Matrix, and that's
oh,
what
man.
We're all about.
You're
That's
talking
what
about
we're all about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great, yeah. great. And basically, you're about empowering people to be the best that they can be, live their lives
no
the, best,
doubt.
The best way they can. But I
Absolutely.
Remember we were talking about Eugene Rickert, and
yes,
I thought
we
that
were.
Was.
Yes, we were.
I thought that was just so magnificent, so magnificent. So
yeah,
how
he's
does
a special guy.
Okay, how does music tie into you empowering other people to be the best that they can be?
Well, you know, music really doesn't. That's really just not my main forte. You know how people have different talents and you walk into mm-hmm. certain opportunities in life that you mm-hmm. didn't orchestrate. God blesses mm-hmm. you enough to have the talent to take advantage of it. At the mm-hmm. time that I began writing with Eugene, I didn't even know who I was. And through the 7 years it mm-hmm. took me to write Who's Apple Is It Anyway, I came to terms with a lot of trauma and pain, and I learned who I truly am. And along with that realization for anybody, is realizing what your actual purpose for living is. It's as easy as breathing when you find your purpose. And so because I've been through so much trauma and learned through writing a book what it does to our vision, our purpose, and ultimately our destiny, is that I'm here to really show people what is the reason behind the fact that your dreams, your hopes, your wishes, and your desires are not aligning with your current reality. And it's in the current moment that the past meets the future. And while you cannot change your past, Gene, you can always make here and now decisions that empower your future. So today I really wanted to bring some knowledge about why our experiences with dating sites sometimes find us in the same negative cycles, negative relationships. We invest our emotions into the person. There's something in us that really wants to ignore how reality might be slapping us in the face. And by the time we realize what we've done, that we've invested a lot of ourselves emotionally, many times physically, into the relationship, so that recovering from that is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Whose apple is it anyway? So by just listening to what you've just said you took 7 years to write this book. So
7 years and 6 days.
So, wow. That's
Who's
narrowing
come,
it.
Right?
That's narrowing it down, right? Wow.
Yeah.
7 years. Why did it take you so long? I mean, you wanted to be, you know, go right ahead.
Well, you know, for those of your audiences who are born-again Christians and came up in the African-American church, you know what a prophet is. And my sister called me December 17th, 2005, and said, Linda, you're going to write a book, but this book is only going to progress as you heal. And that's why it took 7 years, because there was a lot of trauma that I wasn't facing up to. There was a rape that had occurred to me 30 years prior that I had to admit to. And the way it played out for me was every time I would reach a writing block, then without fail it wound up being another layer of healing I had to come through. And that always required that I faced the pain I'd been running from for years. That 7 year process was grueling for me. It was not easy. Now, we sit up in church, we give our testimonies, we talk on the radio about our testimonies and what God's done for us. You know what I'm all about? I'm all about the story in between what I used to be and what I've become. I'm all about bringing it real with respect to the rawness of what I went through, because it's in acknowledging that rawness that we are able to meet others where they are in that and overcome the misperception that the people in church that are dressed to the nines and they got all these testimonies, they seem to have everything. We need to cut back past what we see and deal with the rawness of where we were at the time, because it's only through that that we can meet other people right where they are.
Yeah, yeah. So therefore, this book basically has a lot of your own personal experiences incorporated inside of it.
Not a lot. Not a lot. Some of the comments I'm getting is that there's just enough of me in there for people to relate to me. And these are some professional reviewers. There's two things they say is that they cannot believe how thoroughly the topic is addressed. And how there was just enough of me in there to make people relate to why I was saying what I was saying and recognize that I went through it too. I boss knucklehead number two. Number one, frankly, when it came to being stuck on stupid, my friend. So some of that is in there, but the book is not by no means a memoir, nor is it an autobiography. It's really a how to get through this mess book.
Okay. And what are some of your coaching services that you offer?
Well, we do individual, we do personal, and we do professional. Now, that can include, right now I'm writing a coaching program because I recognize that it's important to meet people where they are. So not everybody can afford the direct one-on-one consultations or coaching. So I have been in the process of writing an online coaching program that will be a lot more affordable, and it'll walk people through, and then I'm going to include access, you know, if you have questions, you can email me, et cetera. I'm also writing a curriculum for the book Whose Apple Is It Anyway, which also will be an online program. But if you're talking services, I do speaking engagements, presentations, seminars, conferences, and as well as the individual and group coaching.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And what kind of reactions do you get when you present this? What kind of reactions do you get?
You can probably tell by the way by our short interactions with each other over the past month that I just can't do anything else but be real. And my thing is this, that's one thing that reaches people. Sometimes people will inevitably get, that really brought up something, but I'll tell you about it later, and then nobody talks about it later. So one thing I recognize is that the presentations, the book, whatever, whether I'm doing an in-person thing or not, it always brings up a lot of the stuff that people have stuffed and turned their backs on in the interest of survival. I'm still really wrestling, though, Gene, with that aspect, because I really feel that because the book consistently reaches people like that, because my presentation, because I just bring me as I am. I can be formal if I have to, but it's going to be real. And because I'm an open book with respect to what I went through, there's got to be some kind of a debriefing process for people who this brings stuff up for. So I'm still working on that aspect. It cuts to the heart, if that explains how people react.
Oh, wow. It sounds great. Sounds good. And the book is Whose Apple Is It Anyway? I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon. Yeah, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. Aren't we? Okay. We both on Amazon. Don't think I didn't read your book, my friend. The one that you emailed me about.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
It's a little short book, but,
I
think that you need to really is flesh that out, and that needs to be more book.
Yeah, I get a
so
lot
much
of that,
going on.
Linda, I get a lot of that. Sometimes I do short stories because I don't have time to write a 300-400 page novel sometimes, and I people go read those short stories. A lot of some of the stuff up there, they are novels. They're novels up there. I have done novels, but lately I've been doing short stories, and I and people are contacting me, George, it's too short. It is too short. There's more. There's got to be more to it. That just can't happen. You know, it just can't just drop it there.
Get a clue, dude. You know, I mean, leaving us hanging.
Yeah, you know, but Linda, I'm going to tell you something. That's the way I planned it. That's the way I planned it.
Oh, really?
That's the way it, even though I've been told that they're good stories, they're great stories, I just left them hanging. And a lot of times when someone reviews a book, they will not give it a 5-star review because they feel I left them hanging. They might give me a 3 or 4, you know.
Okay.
But I'm into the short story thing because I do think the short stories, they can stand beside a novel, just any novel. You just don't know how many movies out here or stage plays have been created from a short story.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You know.
Well, if you meant to leave us hanging, my friend, mission accomplished, mission successful on that end. But at least do a part two so we can pick up the story.
I was asked that. I was told that. George, we hope you do a part two. Do a part two.
Right.
Which one was it?
I cannot remember. This guy
I got a
was
feeling.
Walking around in the rain. And
Okay. All right. Okay.
And
I know.
And it was obvious to me that there was a lot going on inside this character that wasn't described because you were really looking from the outside in telling the story. And I really
yeah, a lot of
wanted
times,
to get inside this guy.
A lot of times I don't develop the character that much, but I do try to give the reader a little bit about the character because it's a short story.
Yeah, but see, that storm that was going on inside is a lot more significant than the storm that was going on outside. And there's alliteration there between the tension between this guy and his struggle within himself. Okay, I'm not going to get all deep into this.
You're a critic.
No, I'm not being a critic. There was enough there, okay? Even absent the character development, for me to see that there was some combination of what was internally in this guy and the hope he had lost with what he was walking through, I think that's excellent. But you're wrong all day long for leaving us hanging, so I'm gonna leave that right.
Yeah,
there.
But I did it on purpose. I told myself that I was gonna leave the audience hanging for more. And a lot of times those short stories. At the end of them, I will ask the reader if they want me to do a second book, a second story on it, you know, and I did it.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, okay. All right, okay, let's get back to you.
I'm all into this. Look, can I talk to you a little bit? I really want to talk shortly, quickly about
the
dating sites don't tell you. And the warning signs that you might be headed for a dating debacle. And the reason I wrote this is because I want to say the name of this. Let's put it like this. It was reputable, this dating site. I mean, you fill out the long questionnaires, and I wound up with a narcissist and wasting 3 years of my life in that mess, okay? So I just wanted to tell people that the reason why we're running into these negative relationships anyway is because there's no computer algorithm that you can write that's going to weed out ulterior motives. Okay, and it's not really going to weed out much because garbage in, garbage out, okay? And you can only be as honest with others as you are with yourself. So just quickly, I'm going to give you two of the five. The first one is gut feeling. Man, you know, you asked why it took me 7 years to write the book. Because the mess my life had become, Gene, was because I always ignored my gut feeling. And every time I ignored it, I got in some serious trouble. It was quicker to get into trouble than to get out of it. So I'm telling people, always go with your gut. Never subjugate that to anything else. And if somebody's talking to you and the chin music doesn't line up with the dance, in other words, what they say is not lining up with what they're doing, you need to be running and not walking. Sometimes it's not even worth digging in to figure out what the deal is. And then the magician, okay, somebody that's pulling this disappearing act, and when you confront them about it, you get hocus pocus, change the focus. So when you run into the magician that's all of a sudden unavailable, not answering their phone, not answering texts, can't be here when you need them to be there, then you need to leave it alone because something else is going on. And the blame game, okay? You ask somebody, you know, tell me about your past, you know, tell me about your life, and they're talking about their family or past marriages or past relationships, and every time they talk about it, it's all somebody else's fault scenario. You need to run because that's somebody that's not willing or ready to change. You got to know you have a problem to know that you are a problem, and that person is stuck. And whatever's got them stuck happened before you came on the scene. So don't wind up another chain in the chain of blame. You need to run. And finally, you can always tell about a person's character when you see them under pressure. Check it out. How are they responding? Do they get childish? Do they get overly angry? That's a sign of something wrong. It is not going to get any better, so you want to watch out for that. So basically, it boils down to this. They can't write an algorithm that's going to weed all of this mess out, and they're not promising us that they are going to do that or that they're promising us our knight in shining armor. I'm just encouraging everybody to do your own reconnaissance, and you can find my blog on this on LinkedIn.
Oh wow, that sounds great. I'm looking at your LinkedIn blog now, and Linda Williams again. Okay, professional. Okay, exchange. Okay, and I'm also looking at the last time you was on this show. I'm looking at it right here, the Shy Life Prince and all this kind of thing. I'm looking at it, and it's just great. It's just wonderful. And and they can find your book, which is called Whose Apple Is It Anyway, on Amazon.com.
Barnes & Noble, all of them.
Yeah, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Give them your website.
Whoseapple.org, one-stop shop. You guys stop by and see me. I'm looking forward to speaking with you.
All right. No problem. Linda, thanks for being on the show again.
Thanks for having me, my friend. We'll talk.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Linda F. Williams on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Once again, she's always a great guest, great person, always, and a personality, and a professional, dynamic coaching life coach and her services. Check that out. All right, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, we will be right back. Stay with me.
said it once. I've said it many times on the floor. Once again, total power in one person's hands. Not the American way. These damn bills that come out here all the damn time come out here at the last second, and I gotta try to figure out how to vote for my people. How ashamed of you. You should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm sick of it. Every year, we give power to one person. It was not made that way in the Constitution. He was around when it was written. Now we give we pass rules that stop each one of us. Enough! I feel like somebody trying to be released from Egypt. Let my people go! My God, they sent me here to vote for them! They sent me here to vote for them, to argue for them. Trapped. I'm trapped by rules that have been forced down our throats. Folks, we live in a democracy, but not here. But not here. So you go back and you tell your people, I'd like to do that, but the speaker has so much power, so much control, and each one of us do it in their districts. And have to go back and say that. And you can say on your side of the aisle, oh, no, no, that's not the case. But yes, you do. All of us know you got to deal with it. When's it going to stop?
Yeah, well, obviously he was pissed off. That's Representative Mike Post from the Illinois legislature. I mean, this is what's happening with some of the people in the Illinois legislature who were voted in to represent their constituency, the voters who put their butts in office, and they are claiming that their hands are tied, that they can't get anything done because Michael Madigan has so much power. I can say the same thing with Bruce Rauner. I think Michael Madigan and Bruce Rauner, Governor Bruce Rauner, are the blame for what's going on in the state of Illinois. That's no doubt about it. If you've been listening to the show, then you know my feelings for Bruce Rauner and some of the Republicans in the legislature. It's just crazy that they, I mean, we got four or five days left in this month that they're supposed to, you know, come up with some kind of a budget for the state of Illinois. School funding. I mean, the legislature in Illinois, they come up with the House of Representatives. They come up with a spending bill. Rauner rejects it because he says it falls short or it's out of balance or whatever. And therefore, we're right back where we were. We're in Illinois here almost a year without a budget. And my understanding is that Rauner's wife, who claims that she's a Democrat, she's opposing some of her husband's methods of not signing or not funding a lot of the charities programs that she's a part of. So, but you know what? I would take that with a grain of salt. I mean, you got Rauner and his wife fighting each other. He's a Republican. She's a Democrat. They're married. They have a kid or children. They eat together every night, I assume. They sleep together. I mean, they have a tight marriage. I don't know about all of this, you know, fighting against her husband because his policies are now affecting the charities that she's a part of. Well, let me tell you something, Mrs. Rauner. His policies are affecting a lot of people. A lot of people are dying because of his policies, his cuts, his refusing to sign a budget into law because they don't match his numbers. His numbers. And I totally agree with people who say that before Rauner was elected to office, yeah, the state was in a mess. It totally wasn't a mess. I totally agree. But Rauner made it worse, a lot worse. He didn't try to get us out of this mess. He's got us deeper into it. So I don't know if it's up in the air whether we're going to have a budget in the next 2 or 3 days. I don't know. But I do know that the legislature in Illinois probably will be in session even for Memorial Day. They're trying to do something before the end of the month. and they don't have long. So this representative Mike Post, he reminds me of another representative who was pissed off at Bruce Rauner and Michael Madigan for not getting anything done for the people. They can't do anything for the people that they've represented, that they represent, because like he said, their hands are tied. They can't do anything because there's no budget. Everybody's fighting against each other. And Michael Madigan, I'm not a fan of his, but I do know that the unions are. The unions are. And so, and the unions are powerful. So that makes Michael Madigan powerful. And as I've stated in other shows, Bruce Rauner wants some of that power and he can't get it. And right now, Michael Madigan is more powerful than Bruce Rauner, and Bruce Rauner is the governor. Although Bruce Rauner uses his executive powers to wreck this country, to wreck this state. Lord, don't me say country, because I don't want to see this guy run for president. You know, and there are people are going around asking Bruce Rauner who he is going to endorse in the presidential race. Who cares what Bruce Rauner thinks? Who cares who he endorses or not endorse? He can't even get a budget for the state of Illinois. You know, we may go 2 years without a damn budget. We may go, I don't know, past November 2016 without a budget. And that's crazy. And that's crazy. All he has to do is sign a budget into law, fund these public schools, these schools that are falling apart. They are falling apart, and a lot of the schools are shortchanging our children from kindergarten on up. The kids are getting shortchanged by our politicians, and they don't seem to give a damn. They don't seem to care. And that goes for Michael Madigan, too, because he's a stubborn ass. Rauner is a stubborn ass. And the people of Chicago, of the state of Illinois, we're caught right in between these assholes. Something has to be done. And I don't blame him. The guy who outbursts you just heard, his name is Mike Post. There's going to be a lot more outbursts in the legislature. Because they're doing nothing, literally nothing. The most work that these people do in the state of Illinois is picking up their paycheck. That's the most work. Using their hands to pick up their paycheck off the desk. When someone comes around and slaps it down there, they pick it up and that's it. And workers, the legislatures, they don't like that. They want to earn their money. They just don't want to give in to them. They're doing nothing, absolutely nothing. And Rauner is steadfast in his hate for unions. He's steadfast in his hate for collective bargaining, workmen's compensation. He wants all of this stuff into the budget before he signs a budget, and him. Union busting has no place in a spending bill. That's a separate issue. Let's get the spending bill out of the way, and then we will talk about your union busting ideas, Bruce Rauner. But Rauner doesn't want that. He wants that union busting right there in that spending bill, or nothing, or nothing. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I would like to thank my guest today, Linda F. Williams, on the George Wilder Jr. Show, providing us some great, great feedback. She's out there, like so many other people are, trying to make the world a better place. That's all it's about, folks, trying to make the world a better place. All right, we will be right back. Let's see what we got here. Okay, let's do this guy again.
I've said it once. I've said it many times on the floor. Once again, total power in one person's hands. Not the American way. These damn bills that come out here all the damn time come out here in the last second, and I got to try to figure out how to vote for my people. How ashamed of are you? You should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm sick of it.
every year. We give power to one person. It was not made that way in the Constitution. He was around when it was written. Now we give it, we pass rules that stop each one of us. Enough! I feel like somebody trying to be released from Egypt. Let my people go! My God, they sent me here to vote for them! They sent me here to vote for them, to argue for them! Trapped! I'm trapped by rules that have been forced down our throats. Folks, we live in a democracy, but not here. But not here.
Mm-hmm.
So you go back and you tell your people, I'd like to do that, but the speaker has so much power, so much control, and each one of us do it in their districts, and have to go back and say that. And you can say on your side of the aisle, oh, no, no, that's not the case. But yes, you do. All of us know you got to deal with it. When's it going to stop?
Well, there's no doubt about it. He's pissed off. There's no doubt about that, folks. And I really do not blame him. And something has to be done. And it's not just Michael Madigan's fault. And it sounds like to me the guy is just pissed off and jealous because Michael Madigan has so much power. He has so much power in the legislature in Illinois. Bruce Rauner has power too. He's the governor. If Bruce Rauner didn't have the power, he would not have devastated Illinois the way that he has, and his wife would not be trying to convince him to fund some of these charity programs that she's involved in. All right, let's move right along. Move right along. The debate. It looks like there might be. It looks as if there might be a Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump debate. Possibility. It's a possibility. And because Donald Trump has confirmed it. Let me say this. Donald Trump is now the nominee. He has the delegates. He is now the nominee. He has been put over the top. Donald Trump will be running for president of the United States come November 2016. That should be a past thought for now. There is no doubt he is in this race. He will be running. And there is that all-out possibility that he will be the next president of the United States because he's leading Hillary Clinton maybe by a few points in a national poll. So that's frightening, folks. But let me say this: I'm kind of glad. I'm really glad that Ted Cruz is not in the race because I do think that Ted Cruz is a lot more dangerous than Donald Trump. A lot of Democrats and independents feel that way. Ted Cruz was dangerous. He was totally dangerous, but he's out of the picture now. But Donald Trump is the nominee. There's no doubt about it. He can start picking and choosing his vice president for the United States. I hope he picks Hillary. He's not going to pick Hillary Clinton. I was going to say, I hope he picks Sarah Palin. That'll be something, wouldn't it, if he picks Sarah Palin. But he has clinched, as they would say, the nomination. He's clinched it. He's in it. But somehow he has now agreed on Jimmy Kendall Live and some other places to debate Bernie Sanders. Yeah, this and Bernie Sanders says, hey, wow, game on. So this is going to happen. However, there's always a stipulation for Donald Trump. Donald Trump said he wants to try to get $10 million for a charity for women or something like that. There's always got to be something in it for Donald Trump. And they want it to be in an enormous in an enormous auditorium or something. They wanted the crowd to be huge. The media is saying nothing like this has ever happened before. So this, I believe, is real. Some people are saying, well, maybe, but it sounds like it's a real deal for him, for Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, who is still in the race for president of the United States, even though he's lagging behind Clinton, but he is still in it. And that has to be something for him to be debating Donald Trump without Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton will not be a part of the debate because she said she didn't want to debate. She reneged and said she did not want to debate Bernie Sanders again. But a lot of us feel, folks, a lot of us feel that if there is a Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders debate down the road, it's going to be trouble, more trouble for Hillary Clinton than her emails. Her emails is biting her up the butt again, okay? So if this debate takes off between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, it could be a game changer for Hillary Clinton in a negative way, while her emails are still a problem. Because Bernie Sanders could sneak up behind her and it could wind up being Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. It could be that. I kind of believe that Donald Trump has a lot of respect for Bernie. I really do think he has more respect for Bernie than he does Hillary Clinton. I do believe that if you listen to him and you watch him, you study him, and you know, I don't do that often, but every now and then I find myself looking at him and studying Hillary, all three candidates. And I find that he is more of a Democrat than a Republican, Donald Trump. I do believe that. I do believe he's saying what he's saying now. But once he's in the White House, it's going to be different. It's going to be totally different. But, you know, it's going to be totally different. And I see that in Donald Trump. But still in all, this is going to be bad news for Hillary. To be left out of a debate that she first said she was going to be in. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. There's no doubt about it. Hillary wants Bernie Sanders to go to hell away. There is no doubt about it. I think she called him and told him, and her handlers have called him and said to Bernie Sanders, "Will you move out of the way, please?" Bernie said, "No, I'm winning too much." And right now, I believe they are tied. Bernie and Hillary are tied in California. If Bernie wins California and he winds up winning this debate, if it takes place, I believe Hillary Clinton is going to be in deep doo-doo. And, you know, so this is trouble for Hillary. This is trouble for Hillary. I'm going to say this again. A lot of people don't like Hillary. They don't like her style. They don't like what she's done or hasn't done. They know that she's abused and misused Bernie. Her and her surrogate, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, have done some dirt to Bernie. So we'll see if this debate between Donald Trump and Bernie will take place. You know, it's going to be fun, folks. Get out the horn and it's going to be something. All right, we should be right back, folks. Stay with me.
Find out if the drugs you are taking are safe at drugsafetynews.com.
Technically, we still don't have a candidate on the Democratic side. What we do have is Hillary Clinton, who believes that she is the presumptive nominee, and all of her supporters are out there telling us that she is the presumptive nominee. About a week ago, the hashtag #FeelTheMath began circulating, with stories saying that there was no possible way Bernie Sanders could win enough delegates to get to the nomination before the convention. Here's the funny thing about math. You don't get to have an opinion on it.
You got a big mouth.
Math is an exact science. And when you actually look at the numbers, Bernie Sanders does have a real shot at winning this nomination. Here's what's happening right now. When it comes to pledged delegates, Bernie Sanders trails Hillary Clinton by fewer than 400. I think the number is closer to about 360, 370. There's over 1,100 delegates left to win. So even if we round Bernie Sanders' deficit up to 400, there's still 700 more delegates left after he makes up that difference. Now, he's hindered by the fact that the remaining Democratic races are all proportional. So even if he wins 55 to 45, she's still probably going to get more delegates than him based on the superdelegate count. But if he wins every remaining race by 67% or more, he would get the nomination. But more importantly, when it comes to pledged delegates, he could prevent Hillary from hitting that magic number and leading us into a contested convention. And that's what he's been talking about, wanting to contest the convention. Now, personally, I would love to see Bernie Sanders get the Democratic nomination above anybody else. But I don't think contesting the convention is the route to go. If he doesn't get it, I fully believe that he should run a third-party candidacy. I think that is the only way that he would really make a difference in this race if he doesn't win the nomination outright. Contesting the convention is not going to do anything. It's going to sour a lot of Democratic voters. And so running as an independent, I believe, is the good fix for that. But the bigger problem here, aside from Hillary's supporters trying to lie about math, is the fact that they're lying about who Hillary Clinton really is. Just this morning, there was an article in the Huffington Post by Jonathan Cohn, where he says in the headline, yes, Hillary Clinton is a true progressive Democrat. Then he goes on to list several things, like you have to look at her record. Look what she said about the environment. Look what she's said about Wall Street. Look what she's said about this. And even check her voting record. She voted for a couple of good things with the minimum wage. She thinks we should raise it to 12, not quite 15, unless you're in an area where the cost of living is really expensive. You know, it's an incremental thing, like they keep saying, incremental. Same thing with the environment. Well, I have news for you, Mr. Cohn. The environment, fighting off climate change, first of all, Hillary Clinton is not progressive on that at all. She is further to the right than most Republicans. But fighting climate change isn't something you can do incrementally. We passed that time. Doing incremental change was something we could have done 15 or 20 years ago, but after 16 years of inaction from Bush and Obama, no, sir. It's time to act, and we have to act boldly, swiftly, and vastly. We have to make massive changes to the way we live in order to prevent catastrophe. Now, that's not opinion. That's what the best scientists are telling us now, because we've done so little. So don't try to sell Hillary Clinton as a progressive Democrat to people who understand the truth, people who are capable of going online and doing their own research, or more importantly, people who've been watching her over the years. We understand what she's all about. And there may have been a time in her life during her career where she was very progressive. She had a very progressive voting record while in the Senate. And then what happened when she left the Senate? Do we just omit those years in between and just assume that she went from the Senate to running for president? No, we do not. We have to look at her time at the State Department. We have to look at the fact that she really did push Obama to get involved in conflicts that cost us American lives. We have to look at the fact that once she left the State Department, she went out there and made millions of dollars speaking to Wall Street banks that were under indictment. What would you say if Bernie Sanders went and spoke to a group of mafia members who were being investigated by the FBI? You'd say, wow, what a horrible lapse in judgment. You don't deserve to be president. But when Hillary Clinton does it, the same criminal caliber, but because they're wearing nice suits, you say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You know, she's just giving speeches. It's not a big deal that she made, you know, a quarter of $1 million for speaking for 35 minutes. It's the same thing. Criminal is criminal. It doesn't matter what they look like or what they're wearing or how much they are worth. These banks are facing massive lawsuits from civilians all over the globe at this point for their criminal conduct. The Justice Department has slapped them with fines because they were able to prove that they did commit crimes. Now, that was a weak action by the Justice Department, but at least it shows that, yes, they understood these banks that Hillary Clinton was talking to are run by criminals. And those criminals are still there. So, Mr. Cohn, if you consider that a progressive Democrat, then perhaps you need to check your definition of progressive. Because Hillary Clinton has already told us that coal has to be on the table when you talk about America's energy infrastructure, even though last November she told us that she was going to effectively kill the coal industry and put all of those out-of-work miners to work in the renewable energy industry. 6 months later, and she's already backed off on that before she even gets the nomination. That's pathetic. That's not progressive. That's moderate Republican. And that's what we can get if Hillary Clinton gets elected. It's not a Democrat. It's not a progressive. It's not even a liberal. It's a moderate Republican. She will let big business continue to destroy the environment. She will let big banks continue to scam American citizens. Because those are her buddies. That's her bread and butter. That's her payroll. That's what's padded her bank account. You know, this race for president is getting very ugly. But it's not necessarily because of the two nominees. It's because of their followers. Hillary Clinton's followers, in spite of them claiming the opposite, are probably some of the most vitriolic and hateful people on social media that you can find. They're arrogant, they're disrespectful, they engage in name-calling, they're trashing Bernie Sanders, who has done nothing but fight for the little guy his entire career, saying that he's out of touch, that he doesn't mean any of this. Well, we can look at his record and see. But those people who are out there trashing the Bernie Sanders supporters, that's probably the dumbest thing you could do. Because Hillary Clinton, if she gets the nomination, will not win the White House if you've alienated half of the Democratic Party that supported Bernie Sanders. Then you're looking at a Trump sweep of winning by about 70 to 75% because you pissed off the wrong people because you just had to prove that you were right. Arrogance will kill you every time. And that's all I see coming out of the Hillary Clinton supporters right now is arrogance.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was a clip on Hillary Clinton and her arrogance. All right, let's move right along. Donald Trump calls Elizabeth Warren, and his quote is, "She's got a big mouth." There goes Donald Trump again. She's got a big mouth. That's Donald Trump. That's Donald Trump. Donald Trump being verbally acute with women. He always got to. I mean, Hillary. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Elizabeth Warren. She's a Democrat from Massachusetts. She's been a verbal critic of Donald Trump. Donald Trump's got a lot of critics, and she's just one of them. She's a politician from Massachusetts. All right, Senator Elizabeth Warren must be getting under Donald Trump's skin. The presumptive GOP presidential nominee, he has clinched the nomination, folks, added Big Mouth to his list of favorite nicknames for a progressive darling of the progressive darling of the of a press conference Thursday. Elizabeth Warren. Okay, I'm quoting Donald Trump here. She's a woman that has been very ineffective. She has not been effective, Donald. Other than she's got a big mouth, unquote. That's Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump said of Warren, who has been criticizing him heavily, a hell of a lot lately. And he also called her Pocahontas, a nickname he used before reviving a 2012 controversy over her claims that she had Cherokee heritage. While Warren could not prove that she has Native American ancestry, if I can say it, there is also no evidence that she's benefited professionally from the claim. Okay, I never knew that about Elizabeth Warren, that she might be an Indian or something. It could be true. She might have some parts of it in her. I know a lot of African Americans who have some part of Indian in them. So. Inside of them. And that's nothing wrong with that. But to call her Pocahontas, Donald, but he said it in such a nice way. If you watched a clip, if you saw the clip of him calling her Pocahontas, he said it in a very nice way, a very respectful way. Pocahontas, you know. But there is no doubt about it, folks. Donald Trump has clinched the nomination. He will be running for president of the United States in 2016, no matter what he say about women. And he really, really rails on women, you know. And Pocahontas, that is something. I'm going to be amused by that long after the radio show is over. All right. I want to thank my guest, author Linda F. Williams, for being on the George Wilder Show. This was her second appearance. All right. Smart quiz question. If we can have, okay, it's which ocean is on the west coast of the United States? It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right. Smart quiz question. Going to read it one more time. Which ocean is on the west coast of the United States? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It is the Pacific Ocean. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We have about 5 more minutes left into the show. And it's been interesting, folks. It's been a great show. I will not be here Monday, May 30th, because it's Memorial Day. I'm going to be out here enjoying the holiday with my family, and that will be good enough for me. So I'm going to, instead of being off 3 days, I'll be off 4 days. I have to write, it's going to be a holiday weekend, so we're going to have a great time, and I hope you have a great time. It's going to be a lot of people out here barbecuing and, you know, celebrating the holidays and all that kind of thing, and so will I. So will yours truly will be doing some of the same things. So I'm going to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day, and I will see everybody back here on Tuesday the 31st. You know, if you want to listen to my show, you can always listen to some of the best of shows, or you can, or some people call them reruns. They are always located on my website, www.blogtalkradio.com/George Wilder Jr. You can always find that stuff in Google. You can always listen to one of those shows while I'm on hiatus for the weekend, the Memorial Day weekend. And I wish everybody, you know, hope you also have a great day. We will be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Wilder Jr. Show. All right. Goodbye, everyone. All right. I want to say it again. Goodbye, everyone, and have a great Memorial Day weekend. See you back here on Tuesday, the 31st.